You're listening to the Raise to Empower podcast. I'm your host, Ashley Kamajis, a licensed clinical social worker with a multi-state online therapy practice. I have a passion for empowering women and mom therapists to break free of the fear, overwhelm, and oppressive systems that hold them back from taking action and building the private practice of their dreams. My goal is for you to boldly believe in yourself as a clinician and business owner. If you're looking for a place to learn practice building strategy and skill while also claiming your own power as a woman and a therapist, then you're in the right place. Welcome to the show. Welcome to this week's episode of the Raise to Empower podcast. I'm joined today by my guest, Michelle Risser. Michelle is a practicing therapist with multiple additional income streams, including consulting, writing, speaking, and teaching CEUs. Of all the income streams she has built, she's found offering CEUs to be the quickest way to bring in additional revenue within an existing therapy business. In addition to her work, Michelle is a married softball mom, avid knitter, and rose on a rowing team with fellow breast cancer survivors. Welcome to the show today, Michelle.
Hi, Ashley. Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
You are our first repeat guest on the show, which is pretty exciting to be like, okay, we're actually like at that point that like there's more than one episode of some people.
That's so exciting. I'm honored. Yeah.
Yes. I always enjoy catching up with you. We were just chatting about how crazy life is right now for both of us. But this actually feels like a really timely episode for that, at least in my life. And I suspect in yours as well, to just talk about things outside of that one-to-one therapy practice that can help with generating income. So for listeners of this show, they know I always ask guests by kind of sharing their background and how they got into this work. And since you are a repeat guest, if people have not heard Michelle before and are wondering, you know, how did she get into this work of being a therapist, being a social worker, you can go back and listen to episode 23, where she shares that. But today, my question for Michelle is, how did you go from saying, okay, I'm a therapist, I have a private practice, to I think I want to add something else in addition to just the therapy work?
Absolutely. Well, Ashley, as you may remember, when we first met, my passion was burnout work. And I especially love supporting therapists who happen to be moms with overcoming burnout, because it's, you know, when you're in that position, people are pulling on you from every direction and you're constantly pouring out. And, you know, that's how we originally met. And my goal was to turn that into a coaching business. I had joined a coaching program where you could learn how to ethically create a coaching business as a therapist and use your skills in a non-clinical way. And I had my niche, which was therapist moms, you know, overcoming burnout. And I had a group program. And it actually, I did get a few people into the first couple rounds of that group program. It was called Beyond Burnout. I loved doing the work, but it was very difficult to get it off of the ground. And I see now that burned out therapist moms are not people who have it in them to commit to a group program right now.
Sure.
You know, I see that now. It's like, it's needed, but it's also difficult.
Yeah.
And what was interesting is while I was working hard to get my coaching business off of the ground, I started teaching CEUs in my therapy practice because I knew that I had reached a point in my career where I could no longer count on only one-on-one therapy sessions. It was not possible for me to make my income goals and still stay mentally healthy and stay in the ideal number of clients.
Sure.
It just wasn't, the math wasn't mathing.
Right.
And so I had to find something. So I thought I was going this coaching route. Instead, I thought, well, I'll start teaching CEUs. I had taught many CEUs before, being either hired on as a speaker at a conference or as an agency I had worked as part of, but I had never become my own approved provider and offered CEUs.
Mm-hmm.
And I do want to throw this out there really quick. I call them CEUs because that's what, if you just Google mental health continuing education, that's what people call them. That's what people search for. That's our common vernacular. Technically, I know they're CEs, but
yeah, it's funny. Maybe a very state by state, because I always call them CEUs too. Yeah.
Yeah. So just know that CEs and CEUs are interchangeable for my purposes.
Yeah.
So I started offering, and what I would do is through my state, they made this process fairly easy where you could offer it live and also get it approved for on demand.
Oh, all in and one.
Yeah, all in one. Now, a lot of times you do have to do that separately.
Yeah.
Some states and some organizations allow you to just apply for both formats.
Yeah.
So what I started doing was I would teach it live one time. You know, I would market it to my local therapist groups, to my colleagues. Also, there are some listservs and local professional organizations. You can get on their list and things. So I marketed it mostly locally, taught it live, recorded it, took that recording and broke it into modules and put it on demand.
Yeah.
And within 4 months of starting this process, I had passive income. And the first time anyone ever bought my on-demand course, they bought it in the middle of the night. It was $36. That was my cut. And I was just ecstatic to make $36 that I didn't have to be in the therapy chair for.
Right, right.
That's like revolutionary. That's life-changing.
Right, right.
So I kept going and I did a few more courses. I still teach CEUs to this day because I feel like it's important to still be doing the thing that you're teaching others how to do. So I do keep my hand in that, offering usually at least one or two a year. So I'm still doing it now and I love it. I love it. So through that process, my CEUs took off and then I started writing, doing some freelance writing. That took off. I'm still, meanwhile, trying to build the coaching business. And suddenly everyone's asking me, well, how do I become a CEU provider? And I'm like, aha, that's where my consulting needs to go because that's what people want to know how to do. So, that's how my course was born and how my academy was born. And here we are. And lots of people are becoming approved CEU providers, which is wonderful because people are tired of boring cookie cutter courses. Yeah. You know, people want interesting, unique topics.
Yeah. Well, and I also think, I remember in grad school talking with a professor about job prospects and, you know, the future. And I remember this professor kind of saying, like, you'll never be out of a job as a social worker because people are always going to have some kind of problem, right? Like people are always going to need help in some capacity. And unless boards all of a sudden decide, you never need to continue learning. People are always going to need CEUs, right? Regardless of your state. I don't know of any state that does not require some kind of continuing education credit. And so, you know, that is definitely something I would say probably from a marketing standpoint that someone's always going to need it.
Exactly. They need the CEUs anyway. And if you can make your course really unique and, you know, make it stand out, people are going to take it, you know, because we're tired of, I think, especially since COVID, we're tired of the whole, let me just get this catalog and take this post test and you know, buy some CEs for $20. Like that's boring. It doesn't actually advance our knowledge. And so what I love to help people do is find their unique intersection of their knowledge, their education, their experience, but also their lived life experiences as well, and put together something that is just really special and unique. And the most important thing is it sets them on fire. They're passionate about it.
Sure.
So they're excited to teach about it. And that makes it a really good training.
Yeah. Yeah. So you have several different like offerings around supporting other therapists with developing a CEU course. And I know you recently have shifted kind of the container. The material is still the same in many ways. But tell us a little bit about the Academy.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm so excited about this. So I've been running my Therapist Educators Mastermind for the last 2 years or so. And we have done 4 rounds of the mastermind. It's been incredible. The people, the trainings that have come out of it, the career paths that have kind of just taken off because of becoming approved CEU providers and then doing other things like retreats. It's incredible. But what I learned, and some of you business geeks out there might be interested in this, but I learned very recently that it's actually not a mastermind. I called it that because there is a collaborative, there's a community aspect to it. You know, we do get together in a Voxer group and people run their ideas by each other, and there's a lot of support and community. But what I learned is that in a true mastermind, the members provide most of the content. The members are the ones providing the support, answering the questions.
Sure.
Whereas my program really is more of an academy. It is a guided group program where I take you through the process of becoming an approved CEU provider step by step. And you come out on the other side approved and ready to market and fill that training. So really, it's just a clarifying, it's a rebranding, and allowing it to be more, this is structure, this is accountability, this is guidance. It's not really a mastermind, which is more like a peer-led kind of program. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So there's a lot of support from you, it sounds like, and a lot of help, like direction, and your course is part of the academy as well, right?
That's correct. I do have my self-paced course. So if someone is out there who just, you know, really you're a do-it-yourself, just tell me how to do it. I'll roll up my sleeves and do it. I do have a self-paced course. But the people who join the academy do get that course as well. It is included.
So they're learning, but then able to still get that support in addition to what that course provides.
Exactly. Well, really, it's more we go through it step by step together, and I provide you the materials and the support that you need. But if you are someone who just wants to know all the things, you can dig into the course. Like, for example, Ashley recorded a bonus video for me, and it's so helpful. I still send people to this all the time. People who are in the course, I'm like, watch this, because Ashley walks us through how to do a training over Zoom, and even how to do the breakout rooms, and how to cut your screen so that your, you know, your little tabs and stuff don't show up. Like, it's amazing. And I have tons of great bonuses like that in there. So that's why I threw that in. You could just do the academy and you'd still get the result, but the course is chock full of great stuff, tools, resources, bonuses.
And I've taken the course. It is extremely helpful. If you have a question, you're going to find the answer in that. And so then the academy, to have that extra support with it, I can imagine would be so, so helpful.
We've all been told we need to network in our private practice, but no one actually tells us how to do it or what to say. Enter Comprehensive Connecting, effective scripts that expand your networking community and actually fill your online practice. This free guide will give you effective scripts to connect with fellow clinicians, medical professionals, and community stakeholders to build strong networking relationships that will help fill your practice. In this guide, you will get tips and tricks for building relationships that will lead to referrals in your practice, real-life examples of messages used to connect with referral sources, and customizable plug-and-send scripts for your specific practice needs. So download your free scripts guide today by going to bit.ly/compconnecting. Are you a mental health practitioner looking to streamline your administrative tasks and get rid of the overwhelm of running your practice? Look no further than Simple Practice, the electronic health record designed with you in mind. Simple Practice isn't just another electronic health record. It's your secret weapon for simplifying the chaos. From scheduling appointments to billing and beyond, Simple Practice has everything you need to run your practice efficiently and effectively. With Simple Practice, you can finally reclaim your time and focus on what truly matters, your clients and your family. Gone are the days of scrambling to manage appointments and billing. Simple Practice handles it all seamlessly so you can spend less time stressing and more time connecting. With Simple Practice, you can schedule appointments with ease, send automated appointment reminders to reduce no-shows, and even conduct secure video sessions all within one platform. Plus, their HIPAA-compliant telehealth feature ensures that your client's privacy is always protected. Simple Practice also streamlines your billing process, allowing you to create and send professional invoices, accept credit card payments, and even submit insurance claims all with just a few clicks. Simple Practice has designed their platform to be intuitive and easy to use because they know that your time is precious and every moment counts. So whether you're squeezing in clients between school pickups and sports practices or catching up on paperwork during nap time, Simple Practice has your back. Join the ranks of empowered women and mom therapists who are revolutionizing their practice with Simple Practice. Ready to streamline your practice and simplify your life? Head over to bit.ly/AshleySimplePractice to start your 30-day free trial and get up to $200 off your paid subscription. Trust me, you won't know how you ever lived without it. What do you think some of the biggest myths are that people have about offering CEUs?
The very first thing that comes to mind, this comes up almost every day, is people believe that they need to create a training and then get it approved for CEUs.
Mm.
So people will come to me and say, oh, I have this training I created. How can I get it approved? Or they feel that they can't do CEUs because they don't have a training. That's not the way I work at all. I work kind of what you might think is backwards. I prefer that you start from scratch and don't have a training. And the reason why is because the CEU organizations are so picky about what topics they allow. And there are so many things that people would be shocked are not allowed. Things like mindfulness or somatic practice or anything that's kind of holistic or alternative or mind-body. A lot of times it's not allowed.
Interesting.
Yes, I ran into, you know, my passion is teaching about burnout and compassion fatigue, and sometimes that's not even allowed. And the reason why is, it cannot be for the benefit of the therapist. It has to be for the benefit of the client. Someone will come to me and say,
you can make the case that, like, a therapist that's experiencing burnout, it's not benefiting the client. So that someone who is, like, healthy and not burned out, it's their client. It is benefiting the client.
Exactly. But what you have to do is you have to put that little bit of spin on it where it can't be, hey, therapist, come and heal from compassion fatigue, because they would call that personal development, self-care. Okay. But what you can say is learn how compassion fatigue damages your clinical relationship and how to protect your clinical relationship and therapeutic alliance, or, you know, something like that. You make it about the clinical work, you make it about the client. And then what you do is you say, here are some wonderful resources and tools, and wink, wink, therapist, these help you too.
Sure. Which really, it's all about marketing and positioning, it sounds like, which is just so much what we do already with, like, our practices and all of that.
It's so much about spin. So that's what I help people do. It's put that spin on it so that it can be approved as a CEU, but still be the topic they're passionate about.
Sure. One of the things I would be curious, and I don't know if you know much about this yet, with interstate compacts really coming about, I know the social work compact, I don't know if they got enough states approved yet that, like, it's gone through, but I know Louisiana just recently signed on to it, and I think it's gaining traction. It's nowhere close to where, like, the counseling compact is or SciPact is yet. But I'm curious, like, do you have any sense of what that is going to change or how that's going to impact, like, the CEU landscape? Like, I think one thing I know is a lot of times people don't understand, at least my experience, people say, like, oh, well, that's approved for the state of Louisiana for a CEU, but 9 times out of 10, I've never seen a board not accept an approved CEU from another state. And so I'm curious if you see any potential impact of these kind of, like, licensing compacts with, like, CEU approvals or anything like that.
I do see that it could change things. Hopefully it would simplify things.
Right.
The idea is that it's going to simplify being able to work across state lines to see clients. Hopefully there would be something there too. But ultimately, even if your board is in a compact, you still answer to your board. So your board is still going to decide. And, you know, like you said, Ashley, almost all of the states, I haven't heard of one yet that does not do this. So for example, if you're a social worker, your board will accept another state's social work board.
Yes.
So there already is that reciprocity with the CEs. You may have to request it, you know, on mine it's a post completion approval or something like that, where you just have to, you know, put in for it, but they do allow it to go through. So maybe it would reduce that little piece of red tape. But I always suggest people do go ahead if you can. If you're in a state that approves CEUs, go ahead and get your state approval, as well as if you do something like ASWB or NASW, get your state too, because of that, because other states can accept your state.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, so hopefully it would just maybe ease up a little bit of that red tape. But ultimately, the part that I think about a lot is not so much even our states and our compacts. It's how separated we are among our professions. We do the same work.
Yeah.
But when you think about psychologist, counselor, social worker, MFT, and then within those, all of the states.
Yeah.
You know, there are literally hundreds of licensing boards just in the U.S. And I don't think that'll change with the compacts. I still think, like, if you're a social worker, you can take ASWB and NASW. If you're a counselor, you can take NBCC.
Sure. But I don't think that should be something to scare people off, though, because
Not at all.
It still is going to be, you still can get approved and they still can be counted for multiple states. And I think, you know, with good things, right, like a compact, it can make things feel more complicated, but it can also improve things too. I think it's definitely something to keep taking the temperature of how it's all going and like the impact of it on the landscape. But I think it could be for good in the future. For you, Michelle, with adding CEUs as an additional income stream, how has that changed the trajectory of your income as far as in addition to your practice? That this was, you know, something that you said, okay, I want to do something else. This other project that I'm working on is not necessarily generating kind of the income that I'm looking for. How do you feel like CEUs are different than, say, like general coaching or consulting or a course?
Well, one thing that I love about it, and this is ultimately a personal choice, but you can teach CEUs within your therapy practice. If you're doing coaching or consulting, most people will recommend that it's very important that you have a separate business. But when you're teaching CEUs, you're doing that with your license. You can do that under your therapy practice. You don't need a second business. You can use your therapy, what's the word I'm looking for? Your payment gateway, you know?
Yeah.
That you already use for your therapy client. So I love that part. I love that it's already using an existing networking circle that you have, you know, starting with the therapists who you may have met in your area, going to networking events, if there are any local networking events. You know, it's already your world. It's not a whole separate business that you're starting.
So
that's one of the things about it. Also, what you mentioned about everybody needs CEUs.
Yeah.
And so I find for all those reasons that they are quicker and easier to get off the ground and to sell. You can absolutely 100% have a CEU course up and running and be selling it within 3 to 4 months. I don't know any other income stream like that. Like my coaching business took 2 years for me to get in the black. And it's pretty standard for it to take 3 to 5 in something like a consulting or coaching business. A CEU, you could decide today, hey, I want to teach about my favorite topic, ADHD and perinatal mental health. I just threw that out there. That would be a great one, though, if anybody wants to.
That would be a great one.
That.
I was going to say, you can write that down.
And you could today decide what organization you're going to apply for, start pulling together your documents, start putting your application together. And those are all the things that we do in the academy. We go through those together. And I offer materials, reviews, and feedback and all that. And then in a month or two, you get that application in. And then there's a little bit of a waiting game because, you know, it takes them a little while to get back to you. But you could offer a live training in 3 months. and start sharing your expertise. And on demand takes a little bit longer because most organizations want to actually see your finished course. So you'll need to have it built out so they can actually click through it. So that takes a little bit longer, but a live course, you could decide today and be selling it within 3 months.
Yeah. So it almost sounds like starting with the live course and then turning that into something else, right? Like kind of that, you know, evergreen asset is probably the way to go, where you're already making money from this thing and then using that to kind of fuel this other piece, the on-demand part.
Absolutely. That's how I like to do it. It's, you know, you're basically you're getting paid to record it because you're, you know, people are coming in. And there are some other aspects to that. Like you have to make sure that cameras are off and because there's confidentiality. That's the way I like to do it. But I want to put a big caveat out there, which is a lot of people feel overwhelmed by that. You know, the idea of doing it live is just too anxiety producing. So I say, then do it on demand. Just do whatever feels easiest to you.
Sure.
Don't let that get in your way. If you're like, oh my gosh, it gives me heart palpitations to think about a live training. No problem. Record modules.
Sure. Do it in a format that works for you, that you feel most comfortable with. Or, like for me, just with where I live and where I've offered CEs for other, you know, locations, doing it on Zoom versus in person, it just works out better for me with my schedule and where I'm physically located, you know, versus like in the room with people in person. And then I also have that asset of being able to take that Zoom and turn it into something else too.
That's right. That's a good point. Live online versus live in person. The benefit of the live online is, like you said, you can do it anywhere in the world. You know, you can have people come from anywhere and you can do it from the comfort of your home or your office or wherever. And then you have that recording.
Yeah.
The benefit of live, however, is you can really simplify the process so much. All you need is a way for people to sign up. But you could literally have a little table, like old school. You could have a sign in, sign out form where they sign in and out with a pen.
Yeah.
You could have printed out CEU certificates that you write their name on and sign as they're leaving. And you could do this in a gorgeous place at the beach or in a gazebo or, gosh, I'm thinking, I have so many ideas of things that I think would just be really fun. Like you could do it at a bowling alley with a conference room or a, and you could just turn it into kind of a fun getaway.
Yeah. Yeah. Use it as a being able to write off certain business expenses while also having time away and to relax and rejuvenate yourself.
Exactly. I know. And what got me thinking about that was my husband works in corporate America and he, you know, he complains about these team building things, but sometimes they get to do really fun things.
Right?
He's like, we went to an escape room and a laser tag or whatever. I'm like, I want to do that.
Right.
Why couldn't you do 2 hours of CEUs followed by laser tag?
Yeah.
And then you get to write off the whole thing because it's a networking thing.
Sure.
So yeah, that's really where I want to go with my own CEUs, but because of life stuff, I haven't quite gotten there yet. But
yeah. Well, and I can speak to, you know, you were talking about the time that it took to get like your coaching and consulting off the ground versus like CEUs. You know, I can definitely speak to the quickness of that, you know, from recent personal experience. I've offered 2 or 3 different CEU courses over the last 4 or 5 years, I think. And I had done a couple in, I guess, last spring and fall, and I hadn't done any since I had my daughter in October. And if you listened to episode 74, just a couple weeks ago, I talked about having to just like pivot and shift in kind of where my bandwidth is post baby number 3 and having to kind of close part of my business with my membership that I offer. But I in doing that, that was an income generating part of my business. And I needed that to cover at least overhead over these next couple months as we're in the process of moving and transitioning to a different state. And I can't work as much, you know, during that time, but I still need income. And so while I turned off that faucet, the membership, I thought, okay, you know what? I have in my back pocket this CEU course that I've now done two or three times. I've led it with an agency twice. I had done it on my own once last year. And I was like, well, what if I just offer it again? It's a really popular one. People really like it. It's about hurricane trauma. We're heading into hurricane season. I'll just offer it and let's see what happens. And I was able to put the stuff to get it approved together pretty easily because I already had created the course because I already had had it approved last year. And I just had to basically get it approved again. And so it was an asset that even though I wasn't necessarily offering it on demand, I already had the course built. I could offer it by myself again. And I made, you know, a chunk from that that will help cover business expenses, you know, over the next couple months as we're transitioning with this move. And so, yeah, it definitely is not something that takes nearly as long to build as other assets or other income streams outside of therapy. And I think a lot of times we sell ourselves short on what we know. Like, well, I don't know if I could really do this, but you can. We all have some kind of experience, even if it is a very general topic. People always need to learn something. And so if you are questioning if you can do it, you can.
Absolutely. You absolutely can. And so that's a great point about you had already done this training and you can do trainings multiple times. You can offer them yourself multiple times. You can offer them, like Ashley said, go teach it at an agency, go teach it at an organization, teach it for lay people. You know, it doesn't have to be CEs. Once you've built it, you can teach it over and over. And one thing that kind of scares people is they feel like, oh, I have to pull this all out of my own head. Mm-hmm. I approach it like I'm writing a grad school paper.
Yeah.
I take a topic that I already know, something you could maybe speak on for 20 or 30 minutes with no preparation. So you know enough. And then you go to your research. I always use Google Scholar, you know, read through some of the literature, read through some of the popular books that are out there about the topic, you know, and you'll want to cite all that. And people are like, oh no, I have to cite it. It's easy. Google Scholar will do it for you.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. You're not just pulling it out of your head and coming up with a 3-hour training. You're starting with a topic. You're building an outline and then you're researching it and building it out. So what did it used to take you to do a grad school paper? A couple weeks? I mean, you could build a really, really great training in a couple weeks. I would guess that most people listening could put together a pretty simple 1-hour training in a day or two.
You know, another tool to help with some of that planning and just like you said, organization, I utilized ChatGPT recently to help with outlining certain parts where I knew what like the main framework of the training was going to be. Mm-hmm. And I knew kind of the key things that I wanted to touch on, but I just was like, ugh, the thought of like figuring out the order of everything, like what could I do? And so I just went to kind of ChatGPT and I asked like, can you expand this outline, like to include these things and highlight these ideas? And that I was like, oh, this is so easy now to take that. Yes. And I could dive into it deeper and to really expand on that or even get support from ChatGPT on expanding on some of that. Not that ChatGPT like made this training for me by any means, but just to help, you know, take all the stuff that was kind of like running around in my head and put it into a format that I'm like, oh yes, I can almost just kind of plug and play in the sense of that is exactly the next section I want to cover. I then personally expand on it, but something else helped me to create it then.
Oh, absolutely. I use ChatGPT all the time. One thing I want to say is never, ever cut and paste anything directly from ChatGPT, not even just for copyright reasons, but it's a terrible copywriter. It's what it spits out. It's going to be so, you're going to be like, what is it? Thriving on the sailing seas of like ChatGPT is terrible at writing. But what it's great at is you could go on there and you could say, my private practice is EMDR for perinatal mental health. I really have a passion for moms who are recovering from addiction. Can you help me brainstorm 20 ideas for a CEU right. I can put together?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So it'll give you that. And then you could say, okay, outline this for me. Have it give you a skeleton. Have it give you the most critical talking points that you want to make sure that you hit. And then you use that as your structure. You write it and build it out yourself. You add in your sources. And ChatGPT is also great at, is it, if you just threw it a website or a messy, like, here's the author, here's the year, can you make an APA citation for me? It can do that.
Oh.
You can put all your messy citations into ChatGPT and say, put these in alphabetical order in APA format.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's a huge time saver. And here's the tip. Here is my favorite way to use ChatGPT to make your CEU awesome. And that is to have ChatGPT write your case studies.
Mm.
Case studies are a great thing to use if you want to fill in a little more time.
Yeah.
If you want to give your participants a group discussion exercise or a writing exercise. And I'm always worried that I'm going to accidentally subconsciously use one of my real clients in a case study.
And that's so a sure way not to do it with ChatGPT.
That's a sure way not to do it. So you would just say, hey, ChatGPT, here's my topic. Write me a case study. And I had it do this. My last training was about supporting clients through the 12 steps, clients in recovery. And I do work in perinatal mental health. So I had it give me a case study about a mom who's in recovery, who is struggling with her sobriety because she doesn't have time to go to AA meetings because of her baby. And it wrote me this whole thing with her name and her demographics and what she likes to do.
Yeah.
And then it will also give you amazing little talking points for your group discussion, like, okay, what are the mitigating factors that we want to look at? What are the environmental things that are at play? What are some risk factors? What are some safety things? Like, and just, I could go on about this because this is one of my favorite things to do. To me, it makes your training more interesting. Nobody wants to be just read to off of slides.
Right. You engaging is what's going to help draw people in. And what I have found then is then people want to come back for other trainings that you may offer because they found that first training to be informative, engaging, creative, pick your adjective. But if it's something that captures their attention and holds their attention, they're going to want to come back to you as a provider.
Absolutely. And that's something I wanted to say about your training, Ashley, is that it wasn't just, you know, I put this out there and brought in a little extra income. You're also establishing yourself as an expert. You're growing your email list. You now have a bigger list for the next CEU that you offer.
Sure.
And they build on each other. And then the more that's out there, the more an agency or a colleague or someone you're networking with might say, hey, you want to come teach that for us?
Yeah.
Absolutely, I do. And when you get those opportunities, all you have to do is show up and teach. A lot of times those organizations are already a CEU provider.
Right. They're going to approve it for you. You don't have to jump through all those hurdles.
Nope. You can just show up and teach your thing that you've already taught.
Yeah. So for listeners who are like, okay, maybe this is the push I need. Maybe, you know, this feels like a safer option for looking at additional income streams, right? Where they're like, I know I need something, but, you know, a coaching program or consulting just feels too big, but this feels doable. Like this feels a little bit more in my wheelhouse. Where can they go to learn more about you, to find out about the Academy? Where can they check that out?
Yeah, so it's called the Therapist Educators Academy, T for short. Come join me for tea. And Ashley is going to drop her link. So make sure that you use Ashley's link to go and check that out. We start back up on July 15th. That's going to be our first live Q&A meeting. We meet twice a month live. One's a Q&A and one is a co-working meeting. Our Q&As are all recorded. We're also going to have quarterly guest experts coming in. Twice a month, you can get your materials reviewed by me. So anybody who hears this after July 12th, the Academy will be open. I'm going to keep it open in what's called an evergreen model, which means you can join anytime. But twice a year, I'm going to do a big enrollment event. So this time the enrollment event is if you join by July 12th, you get a one-on-one strategy session with me. Usually the academy does not include one-on-one. I will sit down with you, help you make your personalized roadmap, come up with your plan, your strategy, clarify your goals, come up with your topic. You're going to be in really good shape.
Yeah.
Yes. You're going to know exactly where you're headed. So also there's going to be a marketing live workshop that is included as a bonus. And I'm opening up my tools and templates library, and I have a ton of stuff because I do VIP consulting, which I'm actually phasing out my one-on-one services because it's just too much on my schedule. The only way to get one-on-one help with me is going to be through the Academy starting on July 12th. And if I have it, I'll give it to you. And that means sign-in sheets and certificates for all the different organizations. And oh my gosh, I've just objective lists and I've got so many resources, pretty much anything you need. You have access to it. And that's something that previously only my VIP clients had.
Oh, okay.
But I'm opening that up to everybody who signs up by July 12th. I'm going to really hold your hand and walk you through this thing.
I mean, that's so much information and resources and support, like all in one place, that it feels like the perfect spot. If you're like saying, okay, I think I want to do this thing, not only to have the assets that you're talking about, but to have that support directly from you and in that format, I think is just, that's so valuable.
Yes, from me and also from the other people who are in the academy, as well as the graduates. You get lifetime access. So I have graduates who will just pop back in because they're working on their next training.
Sure.
And they'll provide support and people bounce ideas off of each other. Sometimes people will partner together, say one's a social worker, one's a counselor. Hey, I want to get my ASWB approval, but I'm not a social worker. And they will actually join up and partner.
Oh, cool.
So there's a lot of really cool stuff that comes out of it.
Yeah. Well, and we'll have the link in the show note, but you could also go to bit.ly/empowerCEU, and that'll take you through my link to the Academy to learn more about that from Michelle. I'm a big advocate of having, you know, multiple income streams and being able to utilize them in a way to help prevent burnout, which is, again, like where this foundation piece is for you. And I think this is just such a great opportunity for listeners and really for anybody who is interested in, you know, exploring this other side of the work that we do, right? Like we have experience, we have knowledge, and I guarantee you that you have some unique take on something or you have some unique experience that others want to learn from or learn about. And so getting connected with Michelle in the Academy, I think would be a great way for people to have an opportunity to build that and then to share that with the world.
Absolutely. And it's a wonderful way to give back to the profession.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, Michelle, I always love hanging out with you and chatting with you. And I really appreciate you taking the time to share with listeners today about the Academy and just about the real benefits of what having a CEU in your back pocket, kind of as this other income opportunity, really can do for you. So thank you so much for being here today.
You're so welcome. Thank you so much for having me on. And anybody who wants to reach out with any questions, reach out to Ashley and she'll put you in touch with me or reach out to me directly. Happy to answer any questions.
And you're also on Instagram and we'll have all of that listed in the show notes too.
Absolutely. Please follow me on Instagram. I'm trying to build my Instagram and I put all kinds of reels up almost every day.
Awesome. Awesome. Thanks so much, Michelle.
You're so welcome, Ashley. Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to the Raise to Empower podcast. Check the show notes for all links and resources mentioned in the show. If you found today's episode helpful or inspiring, be sure to share it with your therapist friends. And don't forget to subscribe to the show and leave your 5-star rating and review. It truly means so much to me and will help us get our message of empowerment out to other women and mom clinicians. And I'd love to connect with you in our Facebook community. So check out the show notes for the link or head to bit.ly/raise to empower to join us. I'll see you back here next week.